you know, people pay attention when there's a number attached to it.
Someone in our training might say, well, I can't put a dollar on there. I said, let's see.
Let's, that sounds like a challenge.
Game on. Welcome to Building Your Sales Engine. I'm your host, Mark McGraw. Welcome back to Building Your Sales Engine. Today, I'm again with Josh Pitchford. Josh, as always, my friend.
It's a great time. Always doing these and chatting through the stuff that we like to sales geek out about all the time around
that
here.
That is well said. You know, so we do sales geek out about this stuff.
Just a bit. But it's so fun to think about how it all applies and you see the chessboard from up above. And it really cool. Can you see all the different moves?
And really, in many respects, how in our daily lives, how you see things out in the world and apply it back to selling and all the above.
Absolutely. So,
and I know today we were talking a little bit earlier about putting a dollar amount on a problem. And this is something, you know, I've found that has just been super helpful to me. So, why don't you start us off and let's take a little bit of time to talk about why put a dollar amount, why quantify a problem?
From my perspective, and I really want to hear this from you, so I'm gonna reverse you on it. But when I succinctly say it for groups that we're coaching and training and all those things, why to quantify pain? People pay attention when there's a number attached.
Yeah. Really true.
So, I mean, you think about quantifying pain, Mark. What are some of the whys that you see out there with different clients and people you work with?
And by the way, to me, if I look back on the last 10 years of my selling career, because you know, the folks listening, if they don't know, we sell as well. We are selling and mm-hmm. training. We are not just trainers, so to speak. So we have to do both. Otherwise, you know, we don't eat. So, you know, for me, if I look back in the last 10 years, I would say this is a tool that I have learned to near master. I don't know if that's too strong of a statement to make.
It's pretty close.
I've really put a lot of time and effort and energy into learning how to put a dollar amount on a problem. And the reason, and you asked the reason why, one obvious reason why is it helps to justify the investment from a financial point of view. If it's a $100,000 problem, a $50,000 investment is a pretty straightforward ROI. I think also it helps create urgency with people, and it makes things happen faster when they know if it's a $50,000 a month problem and they want to wait 6 months to fix the problem, that's a $300,000 delay. Is that mm-hmm. are they willing to make that kind of cost investment of $300,000 for waiting? And there's a bunch of other reasons, but those are a couple that jumped to my mind.
Yeah, it goes back to what I was saying. You know, people pay attention when there's a number attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Far too often, because they haven't really thought this out, we have to be skilled at, you know, having that conversation. And if you think about, most sellers are very, very good with talking about their products, their solutions. Are they really good at having the business conversation? Mm. And I think that's where the tipping point is, that the seller's got to get out of their comfort zone a little bit. We talk a lot about comfort zones. And this is a comfort zone that I believe a lot of sellers need to expand, of having a business conversation around, okay, what does it look like for them to either not take action, go in a different direction, deprioritize this, and being able to do the math with the prospect? I mean, how have I don't know what comes to mind there as far as, you know, doing the math and making people pay attention to issues and how it's quantified.
What a great question you brought up there. What's the cost of doing nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a cost of doing nothing? As a seller, we certainly could be asking that question from the buyer to find out. Let's pretend for a minute that you make no changes in what you're doing today, and that, you know, it's 6 months from now. What's the impact on the business? And if you had to put a number on it, what would it be? I mean, just ballpark, round numbers. What's the size and scope of the difficulty that you're faced with here? And by the way, if it's very small and if it's insignificant, tell me. I want to know.
No doubt. That's part of qualification. You know, it may not matter enough, but if they don't ask, I think a couple of things you talked about there were big. you know, that, you know, ballpark round numbers keep them okay, you know, of not going deep, but understanding what's their situation.
Yeah.
Why does it matter? Does it matter enough? Because that's, you used a word earlier, they've got to justify any investment they're making. So part of what they're trying to do is justify, number one, to themselves, but number two, to you, that they're ready, willing, and able to actually do something to address the issue.
I think a third person that they're justifying to, too, they're justifying themselves. You brought that up. They're justifying to you, the seller, that it's important enough to fix. The other thing I think that happens is that in many B2B situations, that buyer, that main point of contact, needs to go back internally and sell the investment internally. Sure. And they do a terrible job of that, by and large. And we as sellers need to help them do a better job of it. But the reality is that, let's say there's an investment of, I'm going to make up a number and say, the point of contact needs $100,000 investment. They need to go back internally and make sure that everybody on the inside knows that this is going to fix a $1.2 million problem.
Absolutely.
And if they haven't, they, the buyer, haven't articulated the dollar amount of the cost of the problem internally, it makes it a lot harder for them to sell it internally and to go get budgets and get funding.
It's to give their own conviction. They've got to have conviction and confidence going into that.
Yeah.
And if they can walk in there, because they know, like everybody else, people pay attention to numbers, like, yes, it's going to cost this much, but it's going to fix a millions of dollars problem. And it becomes a no-brainer in there. But the problem is, you made mention of it, they're terrible at selling internally. You know, it's just the way it is. But, you know, we would, you know, and, you know, normal quote-unquote sales training would say, you got to get access to those decision makers and all that stuff. And sure, yeah, you want to try to do that. But let's be fair. In the real world, a lot of the times, we do have to empower somebody to go out and present this to somebody. That's real world scenario. What have we done to best empower them, to give them the conviction, the business case, for this actually to take action, to take over, because it becomes priorities at that point. There's competing priorities in those meetings, and whoever's got the best, you know, justification, i.e. business case for it, all of a sudden it gets up on the priorities list.
Well, I think a lot of times buyers, when they go through making a decision, they aren't taking the time to go do this, or they're winging the answer. And a good seller is going to be consultative with the buyer to help that buyer start to figure out what are the costs of either inaction, or what are the costs that they're trying to fix, so that they can help justify the investment. Now, Josh, I do see too that there are people that when they're selling, their buyers already know they need to buy it, and they're already buying it, and all of the above. And, you know, maybe we take a minute too in that circumstance, because this applies there too. Say, for example, someone's selling commercial insurance and they're thinking about switching brokers. They're going to buy the insurance no matter what. They don't have to justify the purchase of the insurance, but they have to justify the purchase of the change from one person to another.
That's the big investment in that world, is the pain of change, so to speak. And the saying, the rule is, there is no change until the pain of staying the same outweighs the pain of change. Because that pain of change is significant in some ways. How are they going to justify the time investment for something like that? To that end, how do you go about connecting those dots? Dollars and cents is something that's easy to go look at, easier. Let me not say it's easy. It's easier, perhaps. How do you go about justifying an additional time investment? Any thoughts there?
Well, I think to me, if a buyer is, let's say, changing suppliers or something like that, there's usually some pain of change that's involved. There better be a problem that they're looking for the new buyer to go fix. And if we could put a dollar amount on that problem, if at all humanly possible, and it's a lot more possible. I've seen this over and over. Someone in our training might say, well, I can't put a dollar on there. I said, let's see.
Let's, that sounds like a challenge.
Game on. And a lot of times you can put, you know, you take something nebulous like bad service. Can you put a dollar amount on the bad service that that someone is getting today? Absolutely. What's the cost of that? What are the costs of you waiting a week to get a response back on information? What else would you be doing with that time and those resources? And so you can begin to put dollar amounts on things that you that might not normally look like dollar amounts, but every if they're going to make a change from supplier A to you, then there better be a problem. And if you can put a dollar amount on that problem or problems, all of a sudden now the justification of the change becomes easier. And that's a learned skill to help somebody figure out what that dollar amount is.
I think you hit on something there. It is a learned skill to become comfortable with that conversation of doing it. You've devoted a tremendous amount of research and time into being masterful at this part of selling. And so I compliment you on it all the time. Because you do something there is taking something, as you said, nebulous, as bad service, and turn it into something that's more quantifiable. The time investment. They start doing, okay, what's my time worth? All those things. One of the things that, you know, and maybe you can help me and the others maybe listen to this, is understanding that inside of Sandler, we have the Sandler pain funnel, okay? And at the top, we have surface level pain. And in the middle is where we have the quantifiable part of this, okay? That's where we start doing the math. A buying group may agree on, hey, we have these issues, right? The pain. But they may, depending on the buying group, where they are in the org chart, higher or lower, they may quantify this differently. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. You brought up commercial insurance earlier. Bad service may be, hey, it takes too long to get our certs. You know, the certificate of insurance is what that is, okay? Well, that's somebody on the front line, the CFO that's looking at this. How do they go about justifying that bad service up to somebody that doesn't have to deal with the bad service, but they're the ultimate decision maker on something like that? Anything come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that person who's justifying it to, as a change back to their boss on the buyer side of things, I think if they go to their boss and they say, look, we've been getting bad service from company X. We're looking at moving to company Y. Let me give you some examples of what bad service has been for us. We've been getting these delays. Here's what this costs us. We're putting hours and hours into this, and we would be better served to use those hours in this project over here. So for the fact that we're spending time following up on with this supplier on the certs over here, it's preventing, and there's an opportunity cost for the department to get to these other things that have a higher value. And you can put a dollar amount on what the delay is to that other project is. But a lot of times it's the opportunity cost. You can put a dollar amount on the hours that people spend in something. But frankly, when you add those up, the hours only add up to so much. Where the gold is what those people would be doing with those hours that has a much greater impact financially to the organization than just the labor hours of someone making X number of dollars per hour.
Even making a list of, you know, this time of year, you know, it's January when we're listening to this. Who knows when you'll be listening to it, but when we're doing this, it's January. We think about, what did we not get done in 25 or last year that we would have liked, that we would like to get done? All of a sudden, that's an opportunity cost at a higher level person's like.
It's a great example.
We're not getting to that stuff.
And what's the value of that to the organization in dollars? For the fact that we missed out in 2025 of devoting the resources necessary to fix that other thing. And to me, one of the things, I mean, I love, let me just get into the tactics for just a minute on it. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I love to ask people, I said, you know, because you'll ask them, so, well, you know, can you put a dollar amount on that? Just ballpark, round numbers, right? Mm-hmm. And I hear all the time, I don't know, I'm not sure, you know, it's hard to put a dollar amount. And to me, Josh, I think to myself, game on. This is a game. I'm gonna see if I can put a dollar amount on it. And one of the things that I'll do is I'll throw out numbers. I'll say, well, just help me understand. Is this a $10,000 problem? $100,000 problem? Is this $1 million problem? Is it a $10 million problem? I mean, what's the impact for you not getting to that other project? And I'm throwing out and stacking these numbers. And almost every time they'll pick something in that range and they'll give me an idea as to what the impact or cost is.
No doubt. You gotta lead the witness a little bit. You know, a big, broad, open-ended question isn't always impactful because they don't know the math. You know, they don't know the math. They're not used to this. And so leading the witness a little bit to give them a multiple choice of where to start is a great tactical thing to be thinking about. Because, you know, at the end of the day, everything that you just went through there, Mark, I'm sitting here thinking, going, these are also the reasons that sellers shy away from this.
Yeah.
Because it takes a different skill set. How are some of the ways that somebody can prepare or elevate this so that they're more comfortable with these conversations?
If I were coaching somebody on this, Josh, first thing I would say is that don't kid yourself by thinking you can't put a number on something. You can put a number on just about anything. So you got to go into it with the fact that there is a number. I just have to figure out how to go do it. Another thing that I would be counseling someone to go do is to go make a list of the most common financial impacts that you see in your sales world. So for example, maybe it's impact on profitability. Maybe if what you do helps improve employee retention. Okay, so how many over the course of a year employees might you not turn over if you had this tool that someone might be selling? And what's the value or cost of a rehire every time you lose someone and you start to put numbers on that? And so go make a list of some of the most common KPIs or measurables that your client base uses and start to learn through the questioning strategies that you use. What questions do you need to get to figure out what it is they're measuring and how they measure it? And when you get those two things, you're more than halfway home to being able to put a dollar amount on a problem.
No doubt. And I think the couple of things you did, you got to do your homework.
Yeah.
You've got to do your homework looking back at, okay, who are your best clients? What impact do they have? What are they measuring? Mm-hmm. You know, work backwards from what you're already doing or even others on your team. If you happen to be a new seller, you know, what are they doing and what impact does that have? What, you know, what numbers are they paying attention to? Like you just said, it's doing your homework.
It's knowing the right kinds of questions to ask. It's knowing what do they often measure. It's knowing, you know, how to ask something like what are the key measurables that you use in your department? And then follow up. Where are you today with that? Follow up. Where do you want to be? What's a reasonable goal that you have?
The value gap is
what's the value of the difference of those two? And I think a great question to wrap it up is well, what's the value of that over time? Because now you're not looking at the problem as a 1 year problem. Potentially, if this problem that your solution that you're going to put in place is going to fix a 5 year problem, now you have a 5 year window of what that value is going to be, which is of course 5 times greater. Therefore, 5 times more likely they're going to pull the trigger on it.
Well, think about the example you used earlier. $50,000 a month. $50,000 a month times 6, what we originally said is $300,000 problem. $50,000 a month over 5 years. I can't even do that math. That's real money. We won't do it. It's $3 million. All of a sudden, there gets more zeros and commas involved, which gets people's attention.
Which, by the way, is another technique right there, and that is get them to run the math. Absolutely. Don't you do the math. When you do the math as a seller, you're selling. When they do the math as a buyer and they multiply the 5 years or whatever the number is, the 6 years and the $50,000, and they're running the math in their own head, they're buying versus us selling. And that's another tactic that goes into how do you put a dollar amount on the problem so people see the value in what you're selling?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things comes to mind that, you know, when you're working through this math with them, you know, it's okay if you either call it out or if they say something about, yes, we have to justify this.
Yeah.
You know, so many sellers that, you know, we've trained, teach, and coach are like, oh, I've had people say, oh, I see what you're trying to do here.
Well, you're trying to justify this investment by getting me to figure out what the cost of this problem is.
Absolutely. We need to justify it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why would you take action? You know, why would you go through this project at all if there's not a good justifiable reason to do it? You know,
the key tactic there, Josh, and mm-hmm. I think you're spot on with it is don't be afraid of it. You know, call it out. I've even said to people, I said, can we take 5 minutes and let's make sure there's an ROI to this? Mm-hmm. Let's take 5 minutes and go through this. Am I selling you on buying this? I mean, maybe it depends. But the reality is there needs to be a justification. And if we get to the end of this conversation, Mr. or Mrs. Buyer, and there is no justification, we should pull the plug on this project.
Right. Because eventually, if we don't pull it on it early, if there's not justification, it's going to get pulled eventually.
Sooner
after
later.
We've, you know, followed up and beat our head against the wall and given a bunch of unpaid consulting and all that stuff, we still end up at the same place. We might as well ask them early and understand, you know, is there a justification for it, a quantified justification?
For my money, Josh, it's been one of the best tools that I found over the last 5 years, 10 years to develop my skill set at getting better at putting numbers to problems. It has so much of an impact on so many levels in terms of us being a seller. Does it apply to absolutely every single business in every industry? The short answer is probably yes. But maybe on some level, people think, well, I don't need to do it. Look, it's a skill set that makes a huge difference if you learn to master it. And if you go into selling situations, realizing that I likely can put a dollar amount on a problem, I just need to find out how to go do it.
I think, and it's going to help you have conversations. One last thing here, it helps you have conversations with higher level decision makers.
Oh man, so true.
Because you got to be able to have a business conversation versus a product conversation with higher folks.
And now you're thinking about solving a problem and solving mm-hmm. a business issue and the ROIs associated with it.
No doubt.
A phenomenal way to be a better advisor for someone is to learn the skill set inside and out.
No doubt about it. It's a great one to have.
Excellent. All right. Josh, love the conversation as always.
No doubt. Love it. And I think this is a huge one for people to start to own.
Yeah.
To hit their goals.
Let's get better at it. Hey, report back to us. Let us know your thoughts about this as a tool. If you want help implementing it, by all means, reach out to us. Happy to help you any way we can. And until the next episode, we'll see you soon.
Thanks so much.